base our remarks upon is verse 44, that last verse in our Bible reading tonight, where Jesus says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." On the notice board of our own church in Market Hill, you find the words "for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." And by the aim of our church ministry and all that we seek to do is to present the glorious person and work of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in preaching about Christ, it is our responsibility to tell of his birth. That wonderful time in the history of this world when Christ was born in Bethlehem, when the angels sang at his birth as coming forth into the scene of time. My responsibility also is to tell about his life and what a beautiful life you see in the life of Christ. The Bible tells us he went about doing good. The Father spoke from heaven at his baptism and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh yes, we can look at ourselves and we find fault. We can look at others, even other believers, and we find fault. But dear people, tonight when we take our gaze off ourselves and off man around us and fix our gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you see one who is altogether lovely, one who is without blemish and without fault. My, we must also speak of the death of Christ. What a death the death of Christ was, a substitutionary death for the sins of all of his people when he suffered and bled and died upon Calvary's cross. My, we must also tell of his glorious resurrection, how he rose again the third day from the tomb. The tomb is empty. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. My, we must also speak of his ascension up into heaven and his exaltation in heaven. And my, the great wonder of him being in heaven is this, that he is praying for his people. Maybe, child of God, you're in a time of difficulty and trial, and a Christian comes and says, "Listen, brother or sister, I'm praying for you, that I'm praying with you." And they may mean it with the best will in the world, yet a time will come and they may forget to pray for you. But my, the wonderful truth of the gospel of Christ is this, for all his people, he never ceases to pray for his people. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the people of God. But then, friends, we must also speak of a second coming. His coming again to this scene of time. And my, our Lord Jesus Christ will return one day to this world. He will return literally. He will return bodily. He will return visibly. He will return audibly. He will return triumphantly to this world. The Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Every eye upon the face of God's world will see our glorious Savior when he comes again. My, his return is the great hope of his church. He will return, despite what the scoffer says, despite what the false prophet says, despite what the false cult would teach or propagate. And my, our Bible reading tonight here in Matthew 24, it deals in particular with Christ's return. Christ here in this chapter is the speaker. He has just left the temple in Jerusalem and he sits down with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And if you look at verse 3 at the beginning of the chapter, you'll see there the disciples asked him some very important and poignant questions in private. They say there in the middle of verse 3, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world?" They were curious to know when the end of the world would come. They were curious to know the signs of things that would happen when Christ would return again in power and in great glory. Being the great teacher that he was, the Lord Jesus Christ did not dismiss this question. He sought to answer this question, and he answers it for them here in Matthew 24 and also in Matthew chapter 25. Now in these chapters, he tells them about events that will precede his return. He tells them about his actual return. And he tells them also about events and happenings following his return. Friends, tonight it is this great event, the coming of Christ, the coming of our Lord and our Redeemer, that I want you and I to think upon this evening for a little while. I want you to think first of all tonight just about the certainty of his coming. Look again at the end of verse 44 in our chapter. It simply says, the Son of Man cometh. My, his return is sure. His return is certain. His coming again is as sure as the pew that you're sitting in here and an accolade tonight. Why, for one, to deny his return is to deny the very word of God itself. It is to be against God. It is to side with the devil. It is to side with the world. You see, all through the Bible, through the word of God, we read of Christ coming again. Think of those tremendous words of Christ to the disciples shortly before his crucifixion in John 14. We looked at them last week where he says, I will come again. Study the great writings of the Apostle Paul, whom God used to write a tremendous amount of the New Testament, and letter after letter mention is made of the coming of Christ. Remember Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Think of the words of Peter writing to Christians in great trial, in great need. He said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Think of James the apostle in his epistle. He could say, the coming of the Lord that draweth nigh. Think of John, the beloved apostle, consigned to the Isle of Patmos for his faith. He could say, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He knew Christ would appear again in power and in great glory. Think of the little epistle of Jude tucked away at the end of the Bible. He says, behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And with those words, Jude actually tells of how Enoch himself, away at the very beginning of time, way back in the book of Genesis, preached and prophesied about Christ's return, his second coming to this world, to this earth. My, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you read often of Christ's coming again, of his second coming. And my, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the Bible, what is it? It is the inspired Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God, the Holy Spirit Himself. My, when a person rejects Christ's return, what are they doing? They are rejecting the Word of God. They are also denying the very work of the Holy Spirit. And my, it is a fearful thing to kick against the Spirit of God. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Oh, friends, tonight realize this. The Bible tells us Christ's coming is sure. It's certain. Why, the Bible doesn't tell us the exact moment. Look at verse 36 of our chapter tonight. Look at what Jesus says there. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Not even the angels know the exact moment of Christ's return, only the Father. But he is coming, and his coming will be sudden, for our text tonight says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Yes, it's sure, it's certain. Look at verse 29 and 30 of the chapter. Here the Lord speaks of tribulation, and he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What a sight to behold! The Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Oh, the word of God is true. The word of God will stand. Look at the statement of Christ in verse 35 of this chapter. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Therefore, the coming of Christ is guaranteed. Sure. The hymn writer says, but soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, or the crowning day is coming. By and by. And friend, in our meeting tonight, if you are to be wise regarding the salvation of your soul, if you are to be wise regarding the return of Christ, then you must hearken to the message of God. You must heed the word of God. My, you must prepare for Christ's sure and certain return. Yes, Christ is coming. The Bible says he shall appear the second time. When he comes, he's coming to judge all those who are unsaved. Turning your Bible, please, over to 2 Thessalonians, in the chapter number 1. And I want you to see what the Word of God says here in verses 7, 8, and 9. This is what will happen when Christ returns to those who are unsaved. It says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What solemn, terrifying words those are. Says of the unsaved, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Paul, preaching to the people of Athens and Mars Hill, said of God, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And that day will take place when Christ returns. Oh, the certainty of his coming. Notice secondly tonight, notice the state of the world when Christ returns. My, prior to the Lord's return, we see here from Matthew chapter 24 that there will be wars and tragedies across the world. Look in verses 6 and 7 of Matthew 24. Notice what Jesus says. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Also, before Christ returns, there'll be a tremendous falling away. Apostasy and false religion will abound. Look at verse 11 of the chapter. Jesus says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Look at the beginning of verse 12. Wickedness, sin will abound. It says, and because iniquity shall abound. Look at the end of verse 12. My, even God's people will grow cold. It says, and the love of many will wax cold. Look at verse 14 as well. We see there how the gospel will be preached across the world. Look at verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Oh friend, these are conditions which are being fulfilled at this very moment in time. Surely Christ's return is near. Surely His return is at the door. Also, there will be the rise of the end-time Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, before Christ returns. Turn over there again to 2 Thessalonians and to the chapter 2, and you'll see this for yourself from the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look with me at the words of Paul in verses 2, 3 and 4 of chapter 2, and then also the verse 9, and there he speaks of the end-time Antichrist. In verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as of the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This Antichrist will set himself up as God, in opposition to all that is of God. Look at verse 9, notice how Paul further describes him in 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. He'll be a powerful character, empowered by the very powers of darkness, the very powers of hell itself. Such is his power. The book of the Revelation says all the world will wonder after him. Such is the power of this end-time Antichrist. There'll be great tribulation, great persecution of God's people. Look again at verse 21. Of Matthew 24. Notice what Jesus says. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And by the spirit of the world will be like unto the very days of Noah before the flood came. Look at verses 37 and 38 and 39 of the chapter. Notice what it says. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. My prior to Christ's return, multitudes will be totally absorbed and taken up with worldly pursuits, worldly pleasures, the things of this old ungodly world, the things of time and sense. And they'll be so much engrossed with the things of time that they'll have no thought of God, no thought of eternity, no thought of Christ's return and His coming again. And I asked you the question tonight, is that not a picture of how it is today in our world? All around us, people are living only for temporal things. Things of men. Things of time and sense. People today are only living for the here and the now. The spirit is, grab as much as you can. Get as much as you can. Just live for the moment. Just live for the hour. That's the spirit of the age in which we're in. The result will be that such will be taken unawares when Christ returns, just as the world was taken unawares when the flood came, the day of Noah. The Lord Jesus Christ says to you and I tonight, He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Christ says, take heed. Unsaved man, unsaved woman, young person in our meeting tonight, Christ says, take heed. Take heed, Christ is coming. Take heed to your soul. Heed the warnings of God. Yes, Christ is coming back again. See tonight the vanity of the things of this world. By the things of time, they don't last. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. What does the Bible say about the things of time? It says, the things that are seen, our temple, the things that you and I set so much store by in our everyday life, they're temple, they're fleeting, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. They're like the migrating swallows. Oh, how we need to live with our eye upon Christ's return. Old George Whitfield said, I'm dearly waiting for the coming of the Son of God. That's how he lived, with his eye upon the coming of Christ. The Bible says after this life, after this world, the judgment, after this life, eternity, after this life, heaven or hell, which will it be for you? Oh, if you're to be ready for the coming of Christ, if you're to be in heaven with God's people, man, woman, young person, whoever you are in this meeting, you must be saved. You must be right with God. That's the state of the world. When Christ returns, the certainty of his return. Notice thirdly tonight from the passage before us, notice the great separation at his coming. Look at verse 40 and 41 of the chapter. Notice what Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 24. He says, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. What's Christ emphasizing here? What's he driving home here to our hearts? That there will be a great separation will take place when he comes back again. A separation between the saved and the unsaved. You turn over the page in your Bible over to Matthew chapter 25 and if you look to verses 31 and through to verse 33, you'll see more about this separation that Jesus speaks of. He says in verse 31 there of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, the great time of judgment, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Who are the sheep? The sheep are those who are saved, those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, who have trusted Christ, who have embraced him as a Savior. Who are the goats? Unsaved, Christ rejecter, the man, the woman, the young person that has turned their back upon the gospel, upon the word of God, upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope for eternity. And what of the sheep? What of the saved? What will happen to them? My look there at verse 34, look at the end of verse 46 also of Matthew chapter 25, and verse 34 it says, then shall the King, that's Christ, say unto them on his right hand, the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The end of verse 46 says, but the righteous into life eternal. And the sheep will be gathered into glory. See, it will enter into heaven, the place of eternal life and joy. But what of the goats? What of the unsaved? My, they will be gathered and cast into hell, the place of eternal judgment and woe and everlasting damnation for sin. Look at what Christ says in verse 41 and the beginning of verse 46. He says in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What a way to spend eternity with the devil and all his angels, all the demons of hell, forever and ever. Have you ever thought about it? Look at the beginning there of verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Punishment that will never, ever end. Will last for all of the billions and billions and billions of years of eternity that are to come. What a separation will take place. when Christ returns. In this meeting tonight, we're all together. In this meeting tonight, there are those that are saved and those that are unsaved. Some of you I know, many of you I don't know. I can only look at your outward appearance. I don't know your heart. I don't know tonight who's saved and who's not saved. But I tell you this, when Christ comes, God will separate the sheep from the goats. Just as this aisle separates our left hand from the right hand, there'll be a great division. A great separation will take place. Wives and husbands will be separated. Parents and children will be separated. Brothers and sisters will be separated. Businessmen and their workers will be separated. Yes, preachers and their congregations will be separated. Separated forever. While the sheep will be brought into heaven, the goats will be cast into hell. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you the question tonight. Will you be among the sheep? Or will you be found among the goats? Friend, if Christ were to return tonight, in which crowd would you be found? Would you be with the sheep, ready and sure of heaven and everlasting life and everlasting glory? Or will you be found among the goats, ready for hell, for everlasting punishment and judgment? And oh, think deeply upon this tonight. Think solemnly upon this tonight. The Bible says one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Friend, will you be taken? Will you be taken and cast into that place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Or will you be taken into heaven, the place where there is no more sin, no more night, no more tears, no more sorrow? The place of the redeemed with the Lord forevermore. How will it be with you when Jesus comes? But notice finally tonight just the preparation that is needed for his coming. Look again at our text, Matthew 24, verse 44, and just look at the words as you find them there. Just read them through for yourself. It says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What's the thought here? It's one of preparation, one of getting ready. Look again at verse 42. Before that, Jesus says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord will come. The Lord's telling us to get ready, to get prepared for his coming. You think of a soldier watching on guard duty. He's prepared, looking out for the approach of the enemy, the attack at any time. And that's the thought here behind these two verses. The Lord tells us to be prepared, to be ready for his coming again. Yes, you and I must prepare for Christ's return. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Aye, if you ever get maybe an invite to go and visit our Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, you'll do a lot of preparation. You'll get a change of clothes. You'll be away out to the shopping, getting your very best. The hair will be cut and everything will be done up. You'll be looking your very best, the best that you can be, to come into the presence of the Queen. And as great as our Queen is, there's someone tonight upon the throne of the universe who is far greater, the throne of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And my, He's coming. He's coming back again. And you and I have got to prepare. You and I have got to get ready. You might ask, well, how can I be prepared? How can I be ready? You can be ready and prepared by being saved. Saved by the grace of God. That's how you prepare. That's how you get ready. To be saved, you must acknowledge your need as a lost sinner before God. Just like that old publican who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And my, you need to trust in Christ. Rest on His shed blood alone upon the cross to blot out and cancel your sins. And what Jesus said to Nicodemus, telling him how to get ready. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He was showing Nicodemus that he needed to trust not in his religion, not in his education, not in his standing in the community, but in the finished work, the atoning work of Christ for sin upon the cross. And friend, God's way of salvation, God's way for you to prepare for heaven and Christ's return, it has not changed. Still the same. You must come to rest upon Christ. Rest upon Him alone. Your only Savior and hope for eternity. I'm sure tonight you know all about the ferries travelling backward and forward from Northern Ireland to Scotland every day. And you can say, yes, that ferry will take you across. But my, if you're going on holidays, what have you got to do? You've got to board that ferry if you're to cross the channel to England or Scotland. You've got to pay your fare. You've got to take that step and get aboard. Friend, you've got to come, as it were, to rest upon Christ. So it's one thing to know about Him. But knowing about Him is not enough to save you. You can have all the head knowledge you want about Christ, about the Word of God, but that in itself will not save your soul and fit you for heaven. You've got to come to rest upon Christ, His blood, His righteousness alone, to save your soul, to fit you for heaven, to make you prepared and ready for heaven and ready for the coming again of Christ. Maybe there's been a battle going on over these dates of mission in your heart. Now you've been wanting to get saved, but the devil has been pulling at your heart. The world has been beckoning to you. And you've maybe wondered and doubted, will the Lord save me? Will He take me in despite my sin? Will He be merciful to me? And doubt upon doubt has been coming. The devil has been holding you back. Just let me take you in closing to one verse. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. And turn with me just to the verse number 21 of that chapter. And I want you to see the Word of God here for yourself. Oh, that you would rest upon this Word, dear seeking soul tonight. Maybe there's a backslider. God has been dealing with your heart in this mission, and you've wandered far away from God, and you've wondered, is there hope for me to come back? Oh, it's still the same. Look at verse 21 there of Acts chapter 2. It says, and it shall come to pass. I love those words. They speak of something that's sure, that's certain. There's a foundation there for your soul. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing tonight to call upon the Lord? We're not asking for your money tonight. All your money will not save you. We're not asking you tonight to join this church or some other church. Church membership will never save your soul. But what we are asking you tonight, what we are pleading with you tonight for, what we are praying for you tonight, and your minister is praying, is you're not saved, that you will call upon the Lord in your heart and soul and settle the eternal destiny of your soul tonight. Come just as you are to Christ. Jesus says, I will come again. That's the promise. Put your hand up if you don't believe that promise. Now, every one of us, I'm sure, believe that promise. Christ is coming. But He also says, be ye also ready. That's His command. Will you heed that command tonight? Will you get right with God? Have your sins put away by the blood of the cross? Be sure of heaven. Be ready for His return. Be ever looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a wee booklet with me tonight, simply called No Longer Hoping, written by a man, a converted Roman Catholic, way down in the south of Ireland. I'm going to leave them just at the basket of the door. Just explains to you very simply and plainly the way of salvation, how you can be saved. Feel free to take one. Know that you, as you would read it even tonight, if you're not saved, you'd be led this evening to a saving knowledge to a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll just hand back to our brother.